Buying a house in Utah can just be hard.
You look at the difference between our parents and us, and it's a huge gap. So what's going to be the gap between us and our kids?
This conference Saturday, we look at the current market through the eyes of a homeowner, a renter, a developer, and a real estate agent. Here's Amy Kobabe on KSL News Radio.
Ask someone to describe the housing market in Utah right now, and the answer is probably going to depend on their current living situation. A renter might say,
we don't want to be in townhomes. We don't want to be in apartments. We want to be in homes with neighborhoods and yards, kind of like our parents did have to raise kids and raise families. Like, we don't want to be raising our families in apartments.
But a home builder might say,
I don't think that we've ever had greater challenges at moving projects through cities than we are right now.
Here's what the governor said during his State of the State speech in January.
I believe the single greatest threat to our future prosperity is the price of housing, period. Housing attainability is a crisis in Utah and every state in the country.
He went on to say that home ownership has been the cornerstone of the American dream for over a century. A legislative audit in November found that more and more people are living in Utah, but fewer and fewer houses are being built. The result is a shortage and an increase in prices that's not going away anytime soon. This is something Thomas Wright thinks about every day.
I'm the CEO and principal broker of Summit Sotheby's International Realty.
So how does the market look right now?
Yeah, right now along the Wasatch Front, we have about 4,300 active listings. And that represents about a 3-month supply of inventory, 2 to 3 month supply of inventory, because in the last 6 months, we've closed about 12,000 transactions across the Wasatch Front. The interesting statistic is that last month we put 3,000 properties under contract, about 3,000 went under contract. And the same month last year was about 3,300. So that's off about 10%, but the inventory is still so low that buyers are having a hard time finding what they're looking for. So it's a really interesting market. And in my 25 years, I've never seen such an interesting dichotomy. And the dichotomy is that, yes, interest rates are up. It's harder to buy a home, but we still have low inventory. So it's still difficult to find what you're looking for, especially for people at the entry-level prices and what we call the missing middle. The missing middle, that rung in the ladder we need the first-time home buyers to step into to free up the first-time housing stock, they're not moving. And they're not moving because there is no middle inventory and interest rates are too high for them to abandon the rate they got when they first bought.
That's really interesting. I haven't heard of that middle before.
Yeah.
And so it's people like my parents, right? They have their first home. They live in that home. They're not moving until they die.
Yeah. Well, that missing middle is interesting because what people do is they get into a starter home and then life changes. They tend to earn a little bit more. They start having children and they need to move up in the housing stock. And when they move up, it frees up the inventory that they were in for the new first-time home buyers. But what happened is we saw such rapid price appreciation and we saw stagnant wages that those people decided just to stay. And then high interest rates came. And now they're saying, I can't trade in this 3.5% mortgage for a 7.5% or 6.5% mortgage. I'm just going to stay here. And that blocks the first-time home buyers from getting in the market because they're not moving into the middle inventory.
And the first-time home buyers is something that the governor has talked a lot about. We need, hundreds of thousands more of those. Are you seeing that same issue as well? There's not enough of those.
I mean, we definitely don't have enough supply of inventory at the entry level price points and in the middle. And the reason we don't is because land has appreciated and the land costs are so high. So the developers developing are paying a premium for the land. But honestly, too, one of the challenges we have is the zoning laws in our state are controlled at the local level, at the local city and municipality level. And those zoning laws worked in the 50s and 60s when they were created. In other words, 4 homes per acre made sense then. But now with land costs, the costs of building, the lack of supply, that doesn't make sense anymore. So when we talk about high density in our industry, we still talk about single family detached homes, but maybe 6 per acre or 7 per acre instead of 4. And if you were to do that, that would bring the price points down and more people would be able to accomplish the American dream. But the zoning laws are not changing. And so what the governor and others are doing are throwing money at the problem. And that's a good short-term solution, but that's not going to solve the problem long-term.
Wright says the people who come into his office looking for a home are most concerned with their pocketbooks.
I mean, people are really struggling right now. They, you know, not at every price point for sure. We represent a lot of higher end price points and people that have done well and have affluence. But by and large, the people that are buying the everyday homes and working the everyday jobs that are the most important to our economy are really struggling. And they're struggling because we've had out of control inflation that's made everything more expensive. They're using their credit cards again, which is a total red flag, as we know. And they're not able to buy into the real estate market because there's so little inventory that the prices continue to escalate. And then you compound that with high interest rates and a payment's $1,500 or $2,000 more than it was 2 years ago. And it's not that they don't want to do it. They can't afford to do it. And that's heartbreaking because our society is built on the family and built on the American dream of buying a home and being there with the people that you love. And when people can't do that, it changes the dynamics of our society.
Do you see prices coming down? Is there an adjustment happening right now?
No, there's not. Prices are not coming down. And I don't forecast prices to come down nationally or in the state of Utah. I think we'll continue to see price appreciation. And you're going to see price appreciation because of the low inventory. There's still too many buyers for the inventory that comes on the market. And we see new and improved properties that are priced correctly getting multiple offers still, even in this market. And so, you know, while the inventory has crept back up to that 2-3 month supply of inventory off the COVID lows where there was really no inventory, I think you'll continue to see people pay more for them because there'll be price appreciation. It's a simple problem of supply and demand.
Not great. Not a lot of hope there.
Well, I mean, it's hope for people that own. It's why we tell people to own a home, because they go up in value and you'll realize the equity, and that provides you and your family a lot of freedom and flexibility. But it's also devastating for the people that can't get in. So it's kind of this win-lose. Like, some people are winning that are in, and then others are losing. And look, as a father of four children that are now between 16 and 24, and they're entering the workforce and starting to consider families and getting married and buying real estate, I look at it and I say, wow, they have good jobs, and I don't know that they're going to be able to afford to buy anywhere around here with the price points where they are. And as a father, that's heartbreaking, because you want your kids to have that same path that you saw when you were that age. And we're not going to see that as much in the state of Utah anymore unless we make some dramatic changes to make it reappear.
You know, you mentioned the American dream earlier.
Yeah.
Do you think that's changing? As you say that, you know, renting is okay. Do you think that that might change and home buying is maybe, you know, for a certain group of people but not for average Americans?
It's a tough one. I think the American dream is in the hearts and souls of the American people. I don't think you have to buy real estate to achieve the American dream. So I don't want to say that and disqualify people who can't. That would be insensitive, and I don't believe that's true. I believe everyone has that spirit in their heart and soul. But I do think we need solutions to this affordable housing crisis. We have to address it head on. It's going to take a lot of willpower. It's going to take a lot of courage. It's not going to be popular. But it's the right move for our country, for our children, and for the long-term sustainability of the quality of life that we want in the United States and especially in Utah.
Yeah.
So I think you can achieve the American dream without buying, but it sure would be nice if more people who wanted to buy could be able to. And that's I'm committed to continuing to fight for that, doing my part to make that possible.
But do renters feel that same optimism? Coming up, I'll speak with one mom who wants to buy a house with a yard for her kids to play in, but is worried about how they'll ever be able to afford it.
Hearing one side of a story is like looking at a complex picture through a keyhole. Hear all sides of the news tomorrow from 5 to 9 in the morning on this station, KSL News Radio.
A majority of Americans view owning a home a part of the American dream. Picture the 1950s and sprawling new suburbans across the country.
The home they've always dreamed of, the happiest investment they have ever made.
A LendingTree survey found that 94% of those asked say it's the quintessential American dream, but 51% of renters asked say they fear they will never be able to afford their own home. Haley Lowry and her family fit firmly in this group. She and her husband rent a townhouse in Kaysville.
We love it for the most part. There's definitely things, of course, that comes with living so close to other people and sharing a parking lot that become frustrating. Of course, like, having a daughter, we want to go outside and play when she wants to ride her bike, and those things just aren't as easy, you know, in a place like this. But for the most part, we have our own little patio out in the back, so we have some privacy that way, which is nice. Occasionally our parking spots get stolen, but you just park on the side of the road and then go move your car, you know. It happens. So, but we like it. It does the job for our little family for now.
Have you considered it? Buying a house?
Yeah, we've looked into it a few different times, at different points of our life. Like, oh, okay, we just both got raises. Let's look to see what we can afford. And we're both making more than we've ever made our whole lives. And we still just don't feel comfortable with buying anything, especially because it's like anything that's in our price range is a piece of trash. Like, we'd have to literally go in and spend $100,000 extra dollars on top of what we're already doing to redo the whole thing. And then it's still not necessarily a spot that we'd want to be forever, you know? So then it's like you put all this work in and then you still don't get what you want, you know? So I don't know. We're just kind of having a hard time justifying right now spending that much money on 800 square feet, you know? And which is about the same size as we're living in right now. And so it's like, well, why would we move and spend almost $4,000 on a house when we can just continue saving here, you know? So, yeah, we've looked at new buildings. We've looked at, you know, buying from past builds and stuff like that. And it seems to just kind of all be right at that high price. So it's definitely hard.
Lowry says she's starting to feel claustrophobic living in a townhouse without room for her family to grow. She works as a special education teacher and her husband is an accountant. She says they're both making good money, but not enough.
I think that we expected, like, okay, once we get into our jobs and we're making more money and things will be easier. Like, oh yeah, we can do that for sure, right? But I think that that's not the reality with this housing market. I think, you know, yes, we both are having incomes, we both are working full-time, but it's just not. So yeah, it's kind of a letdown a little bit. We thought definitely it would put us in a different spot, but I think we're just trying to get a bigger down payment, honestly. Like, we have quite a bit saved, but just it doesn't do enough. Like, we want it to do more. Just, we don't want to be house poor. We don't want to get into something just to get into something. We'd rather wait, keep renting until we can move into something that we're comfortable with. And I think that's where it goes back to just playing it smart. You know, we've had some friends that are like, oh, well, we can afford it, so we're just going to do it. And then they're miserable because then they can't afford groceries. And it's like, we don't want that. And so, yeah, I think we are just kind of waiting a little bit. I don't know. I don't see the market ever dropping. And so that's where we're kind of just like setting into like, okay, this is our reality. So let's just prepare for that. And then if something magically happens, then it's great. And then we can be okay, you know? But, so yeah, I think just waiting for now to maybe get some more money to just make that mortgage payment not so heavy.
Lowry and her husband have one daughter, and her future is a big factor as they look for a house.
I mean, we've talked about a lot of things is like, what as parents can we do to help her in her future, you know, because I don't think it will get better. Like, I think that it will just continue to get worse. And I hope that I'm wrong on that. Like, I hope that things can level out and get better for generations. But I think that as we are in a society that wages are rising, I don't think that they're going to drop housing prices, especially because population is rising too. So, you know, any more money they can make is the better for them. So, yeah, we've talked about what can we do to set money aside to where we could help our kids get into houses, or is there a point in life that we can hope to get to buy land or something that they can build a house on or something. You know, we've thought about a lot of different options like that. And I think, or even, you know, once we eventually pass, what are we leaving to them to help better their futures? Do we have a paid off house by that point? Do we have retirement funds that they can use? Things like that. So yeah, we think about our kids quite a bit, and it makes us nervous just because it's like you look at the difference between our parents and us, and it's a huge gap. So what's going to be the gap between us and our kids? And so yeah, we worry a lot about that.
Coming up, a man who's working to build homes and find solutions to some of the biggest problems facing new homeowners.
Buying a house in Utah can just be hard.
You look at the difference between our parents and us, and it's a huge gap. So what's going to be the gap between us and our kids?
This conference Saturday, we look at the current market through the eyes of a homeowner, a renter, a developer, and a real estate agent. Here's Amy Kobabe on KSL News Radio.
The hope of a new home, or any home, is out of reach for many people in Utah, with prices climbing and inventory at an all-time low. But that doesn't mean there aren't people working on finding solutions. Clark Ivory is one of those people.
I'm the CEO of Ivory Homes.
Of course, it makes sense to find solutions for your business, but Ivory says he's also facing more roadblocks than ever before.
I don't think that we've ever had greater challenges at moving projects through cities than we are right now. It's typically taking us 2 or 3 years to move a project through, and in some cases, 10 or 11 years. In Summit and Wasatch County, we've had some experiences like that. But, you know, it's just more and more challenging, and it's very expensive to put in the improvements to get the water, to get everything you need to make a piece of raw land developable so that you can turn it into building lots and deliver a home at a reasonable price. I mean, if we could go out and build, as the governor has asked, you know, 35,000 homes for, you know, $400,000 or less, we would do it in a second, but it's really difficult to pull that off.
What are those challenges? Can you name a few?
Well, number one, the cost of land, the cost of water, the cost of all the improvements to make that raw land, you know, work. Nothing has gone up more in cost than ready mix and aggregates and pipe and the what we call the horizontal improvements. They're not the vertical improvements like a house. It's the horizontal improvements that go under the streets, that go, you know, that you don't see. And then, of course, the curb, gutter, sidewalk, all those things. Plus, we're working with ground that requires more remediation, that requires us to go in and, you know, it's not always easy. A site has to have more done to it, either more grading, mass grading, or it has to have, you know, a considerable amount of the land will end up in open space due to slopes. So when we're building at the on the remaining pieces of property inside of a valley, as an example, here in the Salt Lake Valley, it just is more and more challenging because the easiest stuff to develop has already been purchased and developed, and now we're dealing with property that requires more expense, more work, and then getting it through the city, the carry cost of, you know, having to wait, you know, significantly to do that.
Ivory and his team have several ideas to help solve the problem. He says they're working on investing in new technologies and regulatory reform. He says he also wants to teach the next generation valuable trade skills.
We have a lot of people who understand that housing affordability is a challenge, and we have a lot of people that know that we have to go do something that's going to make an impact and make a difference. And we're starting to see that happen in a big way. And it's not going to happen all at once, but the cumulative effect of hundreds of little ideas coming together will eventually have an impact. And it's important, because otherwise no one would be able to buy a first-time home that was making an average wage.
One of the things Ivory says needs to change, getting used to smaller lot sizes.
It's very difficult to figure out how to get a single family house under $450,000 unless you drive a great distance to get to a location where the dirt, the land is a lot less expensive. And if there happens to be, you know, reasonable improvement costs in that area, sometimes you can pull it off. What really is going to have to happen, though, to deliver more housing at a more affordable price point is we are going to do more and more townhomes. That's a natural. We will see more and more condos. But people also do want a yard. And that's what the governor stresses. There's so many people that have a dog or have kids. They want to have space for them to go. And while that will be more and more challenging, we are building more and more small single family lots where you do have a backyard, what I call cottage lots, smaller homes. Part of it is just saying we're going to have a little smaller homes, not as much square footage.
But the price is so much still. That's what I hear from people, right?
It's still because, as an example, in Salt Lake County, it's very hard for me to find a building lot, even if it's a small cottage lot, for under $150,000. So how do you, bring on a lot that's $150,000 and then go build a house with 3 bedrooms, 2 baths, and a garage? And, that's very challenging. Now, one of the things that needs to happen, I think, going forward, is we have to go back to where we were 20, 30, 40 years ago. Not everyone had a two-car garage. I mean, I know a lot of the homes in the neighborhoods where I've lived over time had, people parking along the side of their house, or they had a carport. And most cities won't even entertain that these days. They want a two-car garage. I think it's something that we do need to consider, because that would be one way that we could still make it work.
Would it lower the cost?
Oh, substantially. If we could end up, because not only can you avoid the expense of building the garage, but you don't have to have as large a lot if you don't have that garage. And so it could have a $50,000 impact overall. Half of that would be the cost of building the garage, and the other half would be the savings that you'd have by being able to fit that house on a little bit smaller or narrower lot.
And a little bit more yard to compensate.
And you still end up with a fair amount of yard, for out back and whatnot. I think the other thing is we have to be mindful of the need to make side yard requirements a little less, and so that we can put homes closer together. And this has happened all over Europe and all over the eastern United States and really some of the nicest areas on the West Coast. You'll see very, minimal side yard requirements. It doesn't mean that you can't do quality. So I think there's a lot of things that we can look at going forward that will make a difference. But most of all, we just need the will. We need the public will. We need the will of our leaders to continue to make this a focus. And if we do, we will continue to come up with solutions that will help make housing more available, more affordable, and our grandkids and our children will have greater opportunity because of it.
Coming up, one woman who spent months looking for the right home and finally found it.
Hearing one side of a story is like looking at a complex picture through a keyhole. Hear all sides of the news tomorrow from 5 to 9 in the morning on this station, KSL News Radio.
Imagine your dream home. A cozy living room, a warm fireplace, a kitchen with a big island for the kids to do their homework every night. For many Utahns, this dream home has become more of a pipe dream. A legislative audit at the end of last year found that home prices have increased to the point that it's difficult for first-time and lower-income buyers to find a house that's affordable. But it hasn't stopped everyone. Haley Elder moved into her new home, her first home, in August.
I had a couple people trying to talk me out of this place because it was a little bit on the higher end of my budget. And so they were like, no, just wait, like there's going to be other opportunities. And it didn't feel like that. It didn't feel like there would be other ones that were like this one. And so that's another reason why I was like, no, this is it. This is the one. So I went for it. Against other people's judgment,
Yeah. Does it feel like it fits you too?
Yeah, totally. I think it feels like me, especially with all the changes that we're putting on it. Like my style is very like coastal grandmother. Like that's what I like. And so the more touches that we put on it that I put on it are like just the closer I get to coastal grandmother, the more I'm like, yes, this is the place, and I'm obsessed with it, and I just love decorating it, and yeah, it's been amazing.
Elder says she spent months house hunting, and it wasn't without its disappointments.
I definitely had a list of of things that I wanted in a house and in the area that my house was going to be in. I was delusional when I first started. I was like, oh my gosh, I want to be in Cottonwood Heights or Holiday or Mill Creek. And then like quickly I was like, so I can afford a shack in Holiday or, you know, a tent in Mill Creek. So then I had to shift and I was like, okay, well, I still want to be like on the east side. So then we started looking Murray, Midvale, Sandy area. But it was really important for me to have the backyard. I wanted a garage for my car and I wanted a lot of space. I feel like when I was looking, I saw a lot of like little houses, which was totally fine. And it would have been fine for me by myself. But I did want to have like extra space for people to come and stay because my family doesn't live here. And so if they ever wanted to come out, they would stay with me. So that was really important for me. And then curb appeal was important to me, but not like a ton. I feel like everything could use like a little facelift around here, but I'm fine with that. You know, if we need to paint eventually, it's like not a big deal. But yeah, location was really important to me. Garage, yard, those were my big ones that were kind of non-negotiable for me. That's what I really wanted.
Do you mind if I ask how much you paid?
Yeah, it was, I mean, no, I don't mind. It was $440. Yeah.
So just below median. So you mm-hmm. were looking right there at what most homes yep. in Utah.
So I think it was listed, I'm trying to remember. I think it was listed for $430-ish something. And then we came in at $437. And then it ended up, or no, we came in at, I'm trying to remember. We came in at, anyway, we came in at something and then the roof needed replacing. So they gave me a credit for that. So it ended up being with everything all said and done, $440 out of my pocket. So
how many homes did you look at? You mentioned Zillow.
Yeah, it feels like we looked at all of them, like so many. And a lot of them were not gems. Like in what was in my price range, they were not all beauties. And that was really terrifying because we were looking in neighborhoods like I wasn't necessarily jazzed about. And then the houses that were in the neighborhoods that I liked were like, they should have been gutted. Like we looked at one that had live cockroaches inside. And that was a really low point for me. And it was a foreclosure. So it was already like, you know, kind of in my price range, but still out of it somehow. And I'm like, what's going on? Like, I can't even afford the foreclosure. What's going on? So that was really hard. But yeah, we probably saw like 10, 15. I feel like I was looking at two or three every weekend. And it also felt like really urgent. Like one would be listed and my realtor, Melissa, would text me and be like, we need to get over there. Like, what's your schedule like? Because they were literally being sold in like a matter of days. So, and there was a couple that I put offers on that I was really excited about. Two of them, and they both ended up being sold to friends of the people who owned the house. And I'm like, no, like we came in with really competitive offers and they both went to less, like offers worth less, but they were friends of the people selling the house or friends of the realtor who was selling the house. So that was really discouraging. But Melissa, my realtor, was amazing and just kept finding things for me and showing me things. And she found this little gem for me.
Elder says she's now figuring out the new challenges of homeownership along with her dogs. She says she has plans to continue making it her own. So although it's elusive to many, the homeownership part of the American dream is still being realized by some, even if it is more difficult than they originally planned. What the future of Utah's housing will look like is still to be determined. But one thing is certain, it'll have to be built on more than just dreams.